This BBC podcast is supported by ads outside the UK.
Hi, I'm ecologist Dr. Ray Wingrant, and on Dear Daughter Stars, I'm sharing a letter to my daughter about how to conquer self-doubt and talking about the time I got chased by a bear. Dear Daughter Stars from the BBC World Service. Listen now by searching for Dear Daughter wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service. I'm Jane Chambers with Assignment. Today I'm taking you to the Central American country of Guatemala to ask if life's getting better for the country's indigenous communities after huge political upheaval. We've had to leave the truck a little way away and walk here because the roads are just too difficult to get past with cars, so you have to walk to get here.
The truth is that the government always look after the rich. Poor people like us who live in the countryside don't get much help. Look at the trucks around here. They're terrible and nothing gets done to fix them. Projects get started, but they never finish them. And so we continue to be poor. And no one does anything to make things better for us. I don't know if the president governing from the palace will help us.
That's Maria Lopez. She's from an indigenous community called the Chotes and lives in a tiny village called La Joya, 5 hours' drive from the capital in the northeast of Guatemala. Before walking the last part to meet her, I travelled along bumpy, windy, dirt-track roads high up into misty hills. People here live hand-to-mouth from the corn, coffee and beans they grow in the fields surrounding us. Maria says she wants more support with health as well as fixing the roads.
We need more health centres. They're too far away from mothers who are looking after their children, and it's difficult when there are emergencies. Someone in the village has some measuring scales. We can use it to weigh and measure our children, because it's too far to go to the nearest health center. I found it hard when my children were babies, but I know it is our responsibility to make sure they are weighed and measured.
Malnutrition is a major issue in villages like Maria's, which I can clearly see, with skinny children running about and mothers with sunken cheeks. That's why she says it's important to keep track of their baby's growth by weighing and measuring them. A new government came into power in January 2024, and after years of neglect, Maria says at least it's helping local schools.
I think that's the only thing that is improving, because we have some support. With builders painting our schools, which were really run down and need repairs. And that's probably because the teachers complain so much.
And do you think that the new president is going to do things better? Do you think he'll listen to you?
I hope to God that he does something about places like here, where we feel abandoned.
There are more than 20 indigenous communities in Guatemala, making up just over half of the 18 million plus population. Most of them, like Maria, are descended from the original Mayan inhabitants, and the communities have their own languages, apart from the official Spanish. They have a rich cultural heritage, dating back thousands of years, including Mayan temples, astronomy, mathematics and writing systems. They're also famous for the vibrant coloured hand-woven shawls, blouses and skirts they weave with different designs like birds and flowers for each community. Spanish colonised the region in the 16th century, killing many Mayans or enslaving them. Guatemala became independent from Spain in 1821, but still today indigenous people complain of racial discrimination from descendants of the conquering elite, which marginalises them in politics and public roles. Now there's talk of an indigenous spring, where they finally have a voice, because the president the country elected in 2023 is listening to them. I want to find out how it's going, so I'm off to the capital, Guatemala City. It's a rainy, cloudy morning here in Guate, which is what the locals call Guatemala's capital. And I've come to a government building with lots of officials coming in and out. It's an imposing, white-painted building, a little bit shabby with the paint cracking off.
Hola. Hola nuevamente, Luis Pacheco, para servirle.
I've come to meet Luis Pacheco. He's the government's Vice Minister of Sustainable Development in the Ministry of Energy and Mining. Luis is part of the new government, which came into power in January 2024. They won the general election in 2023, but were challenged, and it took months for them to take office, which we'll hear more about later on.
It's a personal challenge for me as an indigenous person to be a public servant, to make sure that things get better for us. And I need to do it in this new environment and find a balance between the indigenous communities and the state and try and regain the trust which has been lost.
Luis is from one of the largest Maya groups, the Maya Quechua community from the Midwestern Highlands of Guatemala. He's in his early 20s and is friendly and energetic. We're sitting around a huge oval table in his conference room.
It was a difficult decision for me to take on this role because there is so much controversy here in Guatemala about whether all governments are bad.
It's a big deal that he's part of the new government because historically the indigenous population have been underrepresented, with only 15% holding seats in the National Congress or high-ranking public roles. Communities like Luisa's lag behind the rest of the population in wealth, health and education, making them second-class citizens in their own country. And that's something he's determined to change.
I'm from a town in a region called Totonicapán. I'm the youngest of 10 children. With my new role, I'm listening to people who have had issues with mining groups. And I'm not just listening to them, but also to businesses. The aim is to minimize the risks that these kinds of investments can bring.
And what have been the issues in the past with the environment and the mines and how it affects indigenous communities?
I think they haven't been listened to enough and they felt excluded. Perhaps because we haven't gone about it in the right way, because of things like language barriers. Many of the communities don't speak the national language, Spanish. There's something interesting that this government is trying to do. For the first time, every month there's a meeting where different communities can come together and make sure that their concerns are heard.
Although Luis is convinced he's doing valuable work, he still has some reservations.
It's an exciting role, but it's been a difficult transition for me, as I used to be the leader of an indigenous group, and now I'm working for the government. And, of course, mining and energy is a controversial area.
In 2023, during Guatemala's general election, Luis was president of a centuries-old group of indigenous authorities, known as the 48 Cantones of Totonicapán. Like many others, Luis voted for the political outsider, Bernardo Arévalo, who made it through the first round of voting in June 2023 and then won the runoff in August. In his election, he vowed to rid the country of years of corruption, but the incumbent government didn't accept the results. Even though he's not indigenous, he had many people in those communities support. In October 2023, thousands of Guatemalans, including Luis, took to the streets in what became known as the Paro Nacional, or National Strike. Roadblocks stopped food and petrol reaching towns and cities. People were fighting to save the country's democracy. It took its toll on Luis's personal life.
My family suffered threats because I was one of the leaders in the strikes. At one stage, my wife and young children had to leave our house because they were worried about their safety.
Luis has also suffered criticism for joining the government.
It's been tough for me because some people have said I have this government job as a favor for the support I gave the president to help get him into power.
But he doesn't agree. He thinks he needs to take on the challenge and do his best to improve life for indigenous communities and give them a voice.
Pero que sí es muy cuestionable.
My critics say you are just another politician working for the president. But I say I don't represent any party. I was invited to do this job to help the indigenous communities be heard and to work out a better working relationship with the state, businesses, and people living in the indigenous communities. And that's what I'm doing.
I've traveled 4 hours west from the capital, Guatemala City, along a potholed main road much in need of repair, which takes me high up into the lush green highlands to the city of Tocanicapan, where Luis Pacheco was the president of the 48 cantones in 2023. The busy market is full of stalls selling locally made goods. It's got everything from the popular hand-woven shopping bags to ceramics, and then fresh chicken's feet and pungent-smelling salted dry fish. I've come to the headquarters of the 48 cantones of Tocanicapan, which is seen as one of the most important indigenous authorities in Guatemala. They've been serving the local Maya Queche villages and towns for over 800 years, and these days they represent more than 140,000 people. The headquarters is a community hall painted with murals of indigenous communities near the main square. They're just finishing a lively monthly meeting, and the hall's packed with people from different communities around Tocanicapan, which, as Luis Pacheco told us earlier, were at the forefront of the protests in 2023.
The protest lasted for 106 days. It started because the Attorney General ordered her officials to raid the election stations and take her votes, and we said, how can that be possible? We want a president who's been democratically elected by the people.
That's Ana Alvarado, the treasurer and only woman among this group of 9 indigenous authorities. She's wearing a bright red, black and white embroidered blouse with intricate designs to represent her community, the Maya Queche. Ana was a passionate protester in the national strike of 2023 and still supports the president.
We want a fresh start for Guatemala. The country can't develop properly because of years of corruption. The governments robbed our taxes and funds that were meant to be used for helping our communities. We've had enough. When they took our votes, we were totally disillusioned and said we must show that our votes count for something.
Ana's talking about the raids ordered by Guatemala's Attorney General, Consuelo Porras. In September 2023, soon after Bernardo Arevalo won the runoff, voters were shocked to see videos of agents from the Attorney General's office going to the headquarters of the Supreme Electoral Tribunal and confiscating the official list of results from the polling stations. The Attorney General said the raids were to investigate claims of voting fraud, but the United Nations said she was trying to undermine the outcome of Guatemala's elections. Enraged, Guatemalans fought back.
It was a very difficult fight. We had to leave our families and children for days on end to keep up the pressure for the president-elect to be allowed to take office. We were in the streets, day and night. Sometimes we thought we couldn't carry on because we couldn't afford it anymore. And emotionally, it was tough. When 15 days, 20 days, and then a month went by, and we still didn't get results. But one thing spurred us on. After a month, the Attorney General said, these Indians are tired now, and they'll go home.
Ana's indignant about this racial slur towards indigenous people from the country's ruling elite.
When we heard her words, we said, no, we are not going to give up the struggle. We are united and we will carry on for 2 months, 3 months, but it was very tough.
She tells me that she will always be grateful for the friends and family who sent money from places like the United States to help them continue. People are busy stacking chairs now the meeting's over, and Ana takes me to meet one of her colleagues to find out more about the 48 cantones.
My name is Manuel Remigio Ixcechal, and I am vice president of the 48th Cantones of Totonicapan.
And you've got some very fancy-looking, ornate black poles in front of me with black tassels and silver tops. What are these?
Es una vara que nosotros nos...
They are rods which we each carry to show that we are the ancestral authorities representing our communities. And they symbolize our honesty and honor towards our community.
Something which Manuel believes is in short supply for Guatemala's governing elite. Like many Guatemalans, he thinks the country's biggest problem is years of corruption.
We live in a country which is full of corruption. There are people who've been in the same governing position for 15, 20, 30 years. We only occupy our role for a year, and we are not paid for it. For us, it's about saving our community and protecting the environment.
Manuel and Ana see this as the major difference between the 48 cantones and traditional Guatemalan governments. For them, it's all about working for the well-being of their communities with no ulterior motive to get rich. This is the documentary for the BBC World Service.
What life advice would you like to give to your children? I'm Namulanta Kombo, and that's the question I'm asking in the new series of my podcast, Dear Daughter Stars. Among my guests are actor Adjoa Ando from the hit Netflix series Bridgerton.
Find what you're built for. What's your unique gifting?
Podcaster Audrey Akande from the Receipts podcast.
Don't let anyone dim your shine. Your voice matters.
And nature presenter Ray Wynn Grant.
What have wild animals taught me about parenthood? Almost everything.
Dear Daughter Stars from the BBC World Service. Listen now by searching for Dear Daughter wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
I'm Jane Chambers on assignment in Guatemala, finding out whether the country can do more for its indigenous people and move on from years of corruption crippling society. In Guatemala, everyone talks about the Pacto de los Corruptos and the effect this Pact of the Corrupt has on everyday life. It's a network of political, military and economic elites whose main purpose is to enrich themselves and control the country. The Congress building's a busy place. They have their own band where they play the marimba, a national instrument that's like a wooden xylophone. Members of the Congress, or deputies as they're known here, mill about the corridors, which are lined with paintings of politicians who look like old-fashioned movie stars.
Hola, ¿qué tal?
Hola, Roman.
Jane. Mucho gusto.
Jane.
Roman
Castellanos.
I'm here to meet one of the founding members of the President's Party, Deputy Roman Castellanos. He's determined to clean up politics and change how it was done in the past.
There were rumors that the government before us would pay deputies for their votes.
I hear that people were prepared to pay $25,000 for a vote.
I don't have the precise figure, but I imagine that the price varied according to how important the vote was they were trying to pass.
How many deputies are there in Congress that are actually from your party?
There's another challenge we're facing. We're in the minority in the Congress. There are 160 deputies in total, and you need 81 votes in favor to get a new law through, and we only have 23 deputies from our party in Congress. That makes it difficult to move our policies forward. But I think things are getting better. We're managing to reach agreements with deputies from other parties so that we can push through laws that help improve education, health, and the environment.
But Oman's convinced that a new law the government's trying to get passed will change things for the better.
Later, today in Congress, we want to pass a law which opens up competition to different businesses. In the past, there's been a stranglehold because of monopolies by big businesses, supported by corrupt politicians, which has stifled competition and made it hard for our economy to be competitive and to grow. If this law gets through, it will help change that and make products cheaper for people living here.
The law finally passed at around 11 p.m, a long day for the deputies. Roman and his party are happy things are moving forward for the government, but it's been tough getting there. I've come to the National Palace, which is the headquarters for the president. It's an imposing green-coloured stone building with huge columns, ornate mosaic floors, high ceilings and massive wooden doors. I'm taken past a sea of sharp-suited bodyguards to the president's office, where he tells me what else the government are doing to help the population, particularly the indigenous communities who gave him their support.
We have been able to build in 10 months 21 new health posts in indigenous communities, in rural communities, while the last government built none. For the first time in 11 years, we are recruiting 4,000 new teachers for secondary education. We are working hard to produce results because we know at the end of the day only the results that we generate in development, in roads, in education, in health, are going to justify the support of the people for a democratic government.
You ran for president on an anti-corruption platform. What are you doing to try and fight against the corruption here?
That's fundamental. What people were rebelling against is to a situation in which our democratic institutions and particularly our justice institutions had been co-opted in the last 20 years by a political criminal clique that was using political power to penetrate the legislative, the executive, and then the judiciary to try to get access to public funding for private enrichment. That's corruption.
During the national strike in 2023, as well as ensuring the president-elect was allowed to take office, another demand from Guatemalans was the resignation of the Attorney General, Consuelo Porras. A few blocks away from the president's office, protests are still going on. But Consuelo Porras is still in her job.
Well, she has not resigned, and the government is tied legally from expelling her. There are a couple of legal ways which we are exploring in order to attain this, and they have to go through Congress. If I want to initiate a case against her, I have to do it through her office, so she has to investigate herself, which is absolutely absurd. But we are bound to operate within the boundaries of law, and that's what we are doing.
The issue with this untouchable Attorney General is not only that she tried to stop the president taking office, she also holds up anti-corruption investigations and uses her position to protect the powerful and corrupt who've allegedly stolen millions of dollars destined for public projects, which would help build and improve things like hospitals, roads and schools. This, of course, directly affects people's lives and is why they're so angry with her. Senora Porras rejected my request for an interview. The government set up a National Commission Against Corruption, which is currently looking into 170 complaints where money was stolen from government projects, including hospitals that never got built and salaries that were paid for jobs people never did. The president says the commission has a range of tools to tackle corruption, but it's difficult for the government to live up to the huge expectations people have, and many people have mixed views about how they're getting on.
Hi, I am Eric Castillo. I am a youth activist and LGBTQ human rights defender.
Students looking for a brighter future also played a key role in the protests in 2023. I've come to the public ministry, the headquarters for the Attorney General, Consuelo Porras. This is one of the main places communities gathered to protest during the national strike, when protesters were determined to make her resign. Eric feels nostalgic about the time he spent here.
It was a lot of people, not just from the city, but also from different territories. And it was a feeling of solidarity and of faith and resistance, because people were really fighting here because they had the dream of a better country. So it was a really good feeling to be here because you felt part of something.
And how are you helping people?
I went here in the first day of the protest. That was the day where the authorities said, okay, we're going to stay here. And they needed dinner, so we start organizing with other people to bring dinner for them.
What kind of things were you feeding them?
Oh, it was a lot of things, because I think like Guatemala City, what the way that we protest sometimes is with solidarity. So a lot of people just came here and they give us food, like, okay, you know, here are eggs or beans or whatever.
And now that the strike is over and the president that people voted for is actually in power, how do you feel?
I think with this new government, I think we all have faith. But we also know that we are not expecting for radical changes, because we know that the president is not someone that comes from social movements or from the radical ideologies. But also sometimes it's disappointing when you know that you were here in the streets and you were putting everything and all day, all night. And for example, and they have different positions that we don't share. For example, with the LGBTQ community, we are not named by them. We are not the priority for them. So that sometimes is hard for you, that you were in the streets and you were fighting.
After years of living with corruption, this is the country's chance for a new beginning, not just for indigenous communities, but for everyone. People call Guatemala the country of eternal spring, and they want to move forward into a new era and make the changes they need to dismantle the Pacto de los Corruptos that has dominated for so long. There's a feeling that if the government and society don't seize the moment during the president's term in office, they're in real danger of sliding backwards into another era of oppression. Back in Tocanicapan, Miguel Remigio Ixekchal, the vice president of the 48 cantones of Tocanicapan, who we heard from early in the program, isn't convinced the president's making enough progress.
The president talks about a new spring for us, but he needs to work harder to get us better health and education for our people. I think he should have more young, honest people working for him and make sure he gets rid of the corrupt politicians that were there before. More than democracy, we are defending honesty. We have always fought against corruption, and we will continue to do that until we can see a change in Guatemala.
But his colleague, Ana Alvarado, the treasurer of the 48 cantones, who we also heard from earlier on in the program, is cautiously hopeful.
I was there in the capital when he finally became president, and I was allowed to say a few words in the ceremony. I said to him, "Señor President, I hope you appreciate all the effort this country made for you. There were pregnant women and old people all celebrating, and we said we managed it. I said, now you as the government must show us that our efforts were worth it."
And she thinks those efforts were worth it, but Guatemalans need to be realistic and patient.
And now I have seen the new government. I really think the people working in it want to help us and make things better. But it's going to take time to dismantle years of corruption. I think it's hard to see results this soon. In the time he has left, it's crucial he gets rid of the corrupt people and replaces them with people who really want to work and to serve the country in a good way.
That's all from Assignment. I'm Jane Chambers. Thanks so much for listening. Do tell your friends about us if you enjoyed this podcast.
What life advice would you like to give to your children? I'm Namulanta Kombo, and that's the question I'm asking in the new series of my podcast, Dear Daughters Stars. Among my guests are actor Adjoa Ando from the hit Netflix series, Bridgerton.
Find what you're built for. What's your unique gifting?
Podcaster Audrey Akande from the Receipts podcast.
Don't let anyone dim your shine. Your voice matters.
And nature presenter Ray Wynn Grant.
What have wild animals taught me about parenthood? Almost everything.
Dear Daughters Stars from the BBC World Service. Listen now by searching for Dear Daughter wherever you get your BBC podcasts.